Well, welcome back to You've Got Documents, a MongoDB Jumpstart. With me is Steven Edward, and my name is Rami Sayar, and we're on module 4 right now. And in this module, we're going to talk about how to actually connect to MongoDB using some of the language drivers that are available out there. The ones that we're going to use today and show you how to use are Node.js and C#.
Yep.
So a little bit of an overview. We're going to start with Node. And we're going to show you how to get started, how to connect, how the Mongo URL works. Then we're going to show you how to create and update documents using Node.js. We're going to show you how to read and delete documents as well. And then after that, we're going to switch to C#, show you how to do that within Visual Studio, how to get started, how to create and read and delete and update documents as well. So without further ado, Steven, please show us how do we get Node connected to Mongo.
I never thought you'd ask. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and open up our Git repository, and that Git repository will have our start folder for the Node starting code, which just gives us some boilerplate things, and afterwards we'll switch over to Rami's, which will have the C# version, and we're really going to do the same equivalent thing, so we're going to look at some nuanced differences in the language drivers which adapt to the particular runtime or the particular environment that you're connecting to Mongo with. So if you look, We're going to open up our MongoDB NVA Git repository, and we're going to go into the module 3, which says module 3 here. There's a slight module difference because we did split one of them up. And so we're going to pick the start directory, and the start directory will have two files, package.json and app.js.
And this is a basic Node.js app, right?
Yeah, super basic. And like any Node.js application, we have a package.json. Mm-hmm. Which gives us a couple of libraries that we need, some dependencies that we have. Doesn't actually have them in the repository. It just says, hey, in the manifest, I want you to install this. So if you're familiar with Node, you would just do an install to install these things. And really, the package.json does that. And we have some starter code, which will allow us to connect to database. So before I jump into the code, let me do the first command that we need to do with any Node application, which is npm install to get things to work. So I'm going to push over into our MongoDB NVA, Mongo module 4, or 3, sorry. There we go. And we'll go into the start directory, and we'll do npm install. So npm install will just install all the packages that we have in the package.json, and that'll give us the MongoDB driver that we need, plus, I believe, another file as well. Let me see here. What is that?
So this is a common error with Node on installation. Sometimes the installer forgets to create that folder for the npm.
Yeah.
So all you gotta do is just
create this folder, right?
And if you experience this running your own Node app and driver, you might have to do that yourself as well.
Yeah, I've actually seen that happen once too. I forgot, it's been a while. It's like the specific repository or the specific location on your account that it stores those packages, right? So it's going to go ahead.
Information for the packages.
Yeah, the information for the packages. So it's going to go ahead and build and install and do all that stuff. So we won't hang around on this screen too much. We'll wait. We'll let that install in the background. It's going to install async library and the MongoDB library. So now, the first thing we're going to do is, so if you open up the start directory, we'll see that we have some boilerplate code. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to connect Mongo client using the Mongo client library or class off the MongoDB package. And we'll use assert, which is just a basic assert library. It's built into Node. And we'll use that to connect to MongoDB. So the first thing we'll do is we'll go ahead and create our connection URL. So what you notice, Rami, is that remember that MongoDB doesn't have a connection, like an HTTP connection. It uses its own protocol.
Interesting. So that's how you describe the URL. So it's similar to some of the other connect URLs for other databases.
Yeah, for other databases, things like that. It'll just give its own protocol // to indicate that, yes, this might be a TCP/IP socket, but The protocol, the application protocol, will be MongoDB.
Interesting.
And the slash just means that we're going to hit the test, the database test, okay, off this server, which will be the local server because 127.0.0.1.
That's home.
Yeah, that's home. And remember that the MongoDB default port is 27.0.1.7, which is just the default port. You could use a different one, but that's just what it'll default to.
Will you have to change the configuration for Mongo?
If you want to use a different port, and you change the configuration file for Mongo.
Okay. Yeah.
So if we look, we'll see that we'll connect to a database. And what we want to do is just connect to URL that we had. And the way that MongoDB works is that, or not MongoDB, but Node, and if you're not familiar, is that pretty much everything's asynchronous. So if it's going to take more than a processor tick, then it usually has a callback. And the callback, in this case, will give us an error and the database name. So for the error here, I think we'd get like a string that explains what went wrong. And otherwise, we'll assert that null. So that will say that we expect it to be null so that we can continue. All right. So I'll pick the DB, and the DB here will just be the database object that we have. It's very similar to a DB that we had in the interactive shell, which is really neat. So that's one of the things I like about using Node drivers, that if you really know how to use the interactive shell pretty well, you pretty much know how to use the Node driver.
But there's a bit of a difference here. Mm-hmm. Here you're having to wait to get the DB. In the shell, you sort of get it right away.
You sort of get it right away. So we'll see that more in the queries too, that you just don't get it for free, right? You have to, or you don't get it instantly. You actually have to wait a little bit. And using that, we'll use callbacks.
At the same time, it also means that in the Node driver, these calls don't block. So you can keep executing other code while you wait for the connect to complete?
Yeah, as with anything in Node, everything is asynchronous. Mm-hmm. It's single-threaded, but it'll connect. It'll say, well, go off and connect onto this. And when you're done with that I/O operation, come back to me and I'll get back to you again. Okay. So everything is non-blocking, always. And that's just in the nature of Node. But we'll see that's a little bit different when you start doing in C#, right? So I did npm install, so I'm good. So now if I just do node app.js, mm-hmm, I should see that connected directly to my database. Let me just double check that my server is running. It sure is not, or is it? Let's see. It is, great. Excellent. So now I just do, let me grab my, there we go, node app.js. And we see it connected correctly to server. So we connected and we disconnected. And that was it. One thing that's interesting before I continue to the queries is that if I don't close that database connection, then you'll actually see Node just kind of hang. That's because that connection's still open and we never closed it. So it's kind of similar to when you open up like a web server on Node, it just kind of hangs out and waits for a request. It's kind of doing the same thing, but this is not good. It's not what you really want. You can keep the connection open if you're running a server and you know that you might get another request that might use it. But for something like this, which is just a straight console application, you're going to kind of want to close it after you're done doing all the things you want to do to MongoDB. That kind of makes sense. So let me put that back in. And what we'll do is we'll go to our first code snippet here. And let me go and snap side by side.
In the meantime, I just wanted to let you know that our current demo is how to create and update documents.
Yep. So we're going to go through a CRUD process, CR, create, read, update, and delete. Yeah, so basic, super basic things that you would do in any database, and we're going to do that right from a Node.js application. So we have our basic application. So the first thing we'll do is we'll grab that, similar to what we did in the console. So we'll grab that collection. So we'll say db.collection, and we'll grab bank data. So it's cool is that bank data will, it's very similar to what we had in the driver, where we'll have this collection, we'll be able to do things like inserting and doing queries onto it. So we'll do bank data.insert, and let me not freehand this because, I can freehand it, but it's right there, so I might as well copy it. So now, bank data insert, it'll do something very similar to one. You know, remember I casually did a couple inserts before,
yep,
where it's just tell.insert, and what's great about it's JavaScript. So even though these are BSON, like it actually translates into BSON, it really feels like the command line.
This it seems like it just looks like JSON or just an object in JavaScript.
Just an object in JavaScript, really.
Exactly.
And I could do, you know, I'm really just doing the exact same thing like in a JavaScript shell, except I'm doing it from Node. Now, you know, I'm adding Steven, I'm adding the account balances. This is nothing different than we did before. But now there's this this idea of, well, you know, I can't just do this because it you know, I can, I just won't get any confirmation or I won't get anything from it. It'll just go and do it, and I have no idea what happened.
So insert right now in this way doesn't give you a callback.
I can do it without the callback, and it just won't do anything.
Okay.
Right? It's like, why? Why would you do that? Because then, you know, you have no confidence in that at all. So this function actually takes a what's called a callback in Node, right? So we'll do function, and the callback is just a, you know, it's just a function that you pass as an argument to be able to process the result of an asynchronous operation. Because this server lives potentially on the other side of the world, or it could be wherever. In this case, it's locally on our machine. We want to be able to make sure that we can continue the application while we're waiting for the data to load up for Mongo. So we'll have that, and we'll have our result. And actually, what insert will do is insert will actually return the docs that we inserted. So they'll give it back and say, well, you've inserted these things. So now I can do a...
Does it include any extra information in these new docs?
It tells us the ID that it gave it.
Okay.
The actual generated ID. Which
so if we didn't specify the underscore ID field, it would actually give us the object ID.
It would generate an object ID for us, which is probably best because it does, I forgot the calculation it does, but it gives a pretty unique ID. Mm-hmm. So what we'll do is we'll say console, well, we could do this if error or return console.error. Probably should do a db.close too, but that's just in case of error. We don't really expect that, right? So that's just good hygiene. And then afterwards, we can do like console.log inserted docs.length. I think it's .length. It might be .count. I'll double check my source. Documents. And I could also do, so I'll do that, and we could also see that we printed stuff out. So let's see here. Oh, and you know, one more thing you'll see is that I made a really easy error. The connection closed before I actually had the opportunity to run the query or the insert onto the database. So why did it close? Well, because I have this hanging out on the bottom. So if you notice, Node actually is an event loop, so it'll actually execute this line always before it executes here. So I need to actually move it
up. And that's because the callback most likely wouldn't have finished before it moved to the next line.
It's not even most likely. It guaranteed will not.
Probably.
Yeah, because it's an event loop, so it will go and process that the outer code first before it continues the callback. So we do that, and we will we'll give that another go. And if something goes wrong, I hope it doesn't. There we go. Insert one document. Now, we can do something. We can actually print out what documents were inserted, too, just by doing the console log on the document itself. So console log inserted, and not even, well, we could just do inserted here, and then actually print out the document itself. It's the bank data, or docs, there we go. And we can do for each one, too. So for var I am docs, doc.i, and we'll see that docs.i, we'll see that we inserted that document. So pretty straightforward, right? And notice that we did have that computed, this computed ID that came from Mongo.
Interesting.
All right. So now, I guess that's the create, right? So now that we're on the update. So we can update records that we've already inserted pretty simply just by saying, well, I'm going to, you're going to query for, so with the Node driver, we can query for the record that we want. And after we query for that record, we can update that record using whatever update, whatever thing we want to change about that document. When I say record, I'm flipping back and forth from table talk, but record, I mean document. And so we can update that document with whatever we want. We can add new fields to it, we can change fields. You can pretty much do anything. So what we'll do is we'll go ahead and continue inside here. So we've already created the insert. So after creating the insert, we're gonna continue, and we're gonna just do another callback. So we're gonna do bank data again, update. And let me grab the code snippet starting out so I make sure I'm not going too far off. So we'll grab the, we'll store the updated person just so that we have the ID so we can do the query on the ID since it's indexed. And remind me to go, we did have a couple of interesting questions I don't think we answered from the last module. So after this this little demo here, after the Node.js stuff, we'll talk about that. So let's just do, let me just add these. So basically I'm taking the updated, the person that we got, and we'll call this docs at zero. And that's the updated person, and we'll take the accounts, and we'll take that account balance, and what we'll do is we'll add, we'll give this guy a few extra bucks. We'll give this guy an extra $100,000, you know, just to make his day. And afterwards, we'll update that in the database, all right? So let's grab this. I'm actually just gonna live type it because it slows me down a little bit. So I'll do bank data, update. Is it underscore, bank underscore data?
Nope, it's capital D.
Capital, yeah, so that, okay. Just gonna make sure I don't mess myself up here. And I'm gonna close this one out. So bank data, update, and what we'll do is we'll query, just like we did before, on the ID field now. And the ID field, we'll use the object ID. So if you notice, I did pull that class in from the driver. Mm-hmm. So object ID here is require on the, ooh, that little pop-up on the screen. There we go. Require, and then we just grab the object ID class off of that so that we can use the IDs, and object ID just creates some computation that says, here's the actual ID that's stored into MongoDB. So we'll just do new object ID on here. And we'll say, well, I want the updated person that I have, and I need the ID field off of them. And that's the ID, that's the person that I want. And then I'll just use updated person. So updated person here is the actual, let me make this just a little bit bigger. Updated person here is the actual record that we actually want to update. I believe I have a, I'm updating, so I think I need to write concern one. So that brings up the conversation of, hey, well, what's a write concern? So you know like how databases, they have different, you know, the reliability, the commit, like ACID, right? ACID transactions. So MongoDB is not fully ACID, but what you can do is you can use different write concerns to kind of confirm whether or not you've made that write. So write concern zero is really just, please write it. I don't really need to know for sure if it's got in there, but I just write it. Please try to write it. Mm-hmm. Write concern one says that, hey, I've confirmed I've written it to the database, and it gives me back kind of like a receipt, kind of like a confirm, like,
yeah,
we're good. I believe write concern two is, hey, please make sure that it's journaled, actually in the journal before you tell me that it's all right. And that, you might ask, so what journaling is, basically it's like, if you did two, you're guaranteed that when you got that back, if the power went out, it would still be there.
It's on the disk.
It's still on the disk, yes. So that's basically, it's a durability.
Meanwhile, one, it keeps it in memory until it writes to disk.
Yeah, one's like, hey, it's got in memory and it's going to put it in disk, but you don't have that hard, like that hard concern that says, yes, it is definitely in there. You know, even if the lights went out, it would still be fine. And then finally, we're gonna take a callback like we do for Node, anything in Node, and we'll do, we'll call error and we'll call count, and afterwards we'll copy it over. So, and there we go. So we have the update, and let me break this across multiple lines because it's kind of long. So we're gonna update the ID with the ID of the person, This is the document that we retrieved from the insert, but we modified the account balance field by 100,000. And afterwards, we're going to write it, and then what we should get from a response is the number of documents, and not a copy of the document that we just modified. So we'll do console.log updated docs, or count documents. Excellent. And then what we'll do is we'll grab the close, and we'll continuously move it within these callbacks. Node has a lot of libraries that helps to make this more linear, like promises and things like that, but it creates kind of an overhead that I really don't want to go over because it's not really relevant. But yes, there's a better way to do it, but we'll just keep moving that callback, keep moving in with the callbacks. Okay, and so now we've updated the count documents, and we should have, if I didn't do anything wrong, which I probably did, but that's fine, we'll run it and we'll see what happens. So let's see, node. Ah, it worked the first time.
Fantastic, look at that.
Oh man, I might as well, you know, roll some dice, you know. I don't know, I'm feeling lucky today. Okay, cool, so it works. It's great, nothing ever works the first time. That's awesome. So now we've updated documents. So we are on, I don't even know if we did it, create and then we updated. We're gonna do R now, so we're doing CU and then up,
yeah, so our next demo is going to be reading and deleting documents. Mm-hmm. So
cool.
Be sure to stay tuned.
to now.
To now. Show you how to read things too.
Okay, great. So we can read it. So now let's just do that. So what we'll do is, again, we're moving in and in and in in Node because it's callback on callback on callback. If I didn't do it this way, then, technically we could do two calls and they could be at the same level, but we would have to use like the asynchronous library or something to make sure that we close the database after we do those things. So I won't do that at the moment, but what we'll do is we'll say, okay, well, we'll do the last thing, and I'm not gonna write it here, I'm actually gonna write it inside the callback like I mentioned. So bank data update, and we'll find. Does this look familiar? Excuse me.
Looks exactly like that query that we saw in the command line.
Yeah, right in front.
Same
right
function.
Right from the shell. Yeah, find is the same thing. So now what we'll do is we'll say find, and I'm going to do find on. Well, the fastest thing I have right now is the index ID, so I'm just going to do that. So I'll do ID. ID is equal to the updated person. Sometimes I just blank out. There we go. And we want the new object. So we'll actually just copy and paste this part. Okay, and that should return exactly one document because we're looking by that. We could also just use find one. Find one will also work just because we're only expecting one. Now remember that find one isn't guaranteed to give you a unique one. It's just saying that you expected one document, so I'm going to give you one document.
So you can use find one to query for something that there might be multiples of, but you just only need one instance.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you'll just be losing data. If you're okay with that, that's fine. So I'll do error and I'll do doc. I'm not going to call it docs because it's one document. It's not more than one. So doc and then open, close. Pretty simple, pretty easy. And what we'll do now is we'll just say console log. Oh, I didn't do it in the last one, but you should just be a little sanitary with it and just make sure that if you got an error, we'll just return console error. And then we'll just do a doc dot, what was I gonna do?
db.close,
yeah. Because we wanna make sure that we close the database even if we had an error. That's just sanitary, I'll add that in the comment, yeah. Handle any errors, bail out. Okay, and finally, we'll just do the confirmation that we did find it. So do console log, read one, and I could just put one item because I know it's find one, and we'll say what that item was, doc. Great. Oh, and I still did the same error, so I need to move that doc, that DB close, into the next callback. So this can kind of keep going and keep going and keep going. And there we go. So now I read one item, and I read that item back out, and it's the same thing, but now notice, Rami, that I have inserted. When I inserted, the account balance was 5 million. When I read it again, remember I updated it with $100,000, and then I read it out again, and I can confirm that $100,000 was added to this account.
So that's interesting. So that $100,000 was added to the end of the string, and that's because we were representing the account balance as a string and not as an integer.
Oh, you're right. I think Mongo just did some magic on me. It concatenated. Yeah, that was just a total error on my side. You know, that's like because I was handwriting it. I knew everything wouldn't work on the first time around. Okay, there we go. So now, if we do this plus equals, we'll see it. This is why we have you here. You know, keep me honest, right? I'm like, geez, that looks really big, but I didn't even think about it. I was like, whatever. There we go. Okay.
There we go. Now we got the right one.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, now it makes a lot more sense. And you notice even when printing it out, it drops
the quotation mark. So yeah, the type before was a string, and now it's just a, I think this is a integer, or it could be a double too, I forgot.
All right. Well, before we jump into the C# version,
we got delete.
The language driver. Oh, right. We have to show you delete.
We have to delete.
Exactly. Yeah,
so we are doing okay on time. Let me just do that really, really quick, because this module is running a little bit long. So we'll do bank data. And geez, I think it was remove or drop. I have to actually check. One second. Reading, deleting, remove. Sorry. And we're going to do the same thing. We can just do a query to look for the documents that we want to remove. And we'll just do the same exact ID. And we'll say that I don't believe there's a write concern. Let me double check. There could be. No, there's no write concern for it. And we'll just do function, error. And I believe that's just error. I don't even think it's a document. I'll double check, but yeah, it's just error. Or count, too. We get a count, just like insert. So it'll just tell us the number of things that we deleted. It wouldn't make sense for it to return it to you because it wasn't, it's deleted, right? So really easy. We'll just do console. I'm going to assume that I didn't get an error. I'm just kind of skip that since I'm a little lazy right now. And I'll do console log removed. Count. Count documents. Move the DB close into the callback. And there we go. Remove one doc. And it's not there anymore. So that's it. We're doing through the CRUD process with Node. And Node's pretty simple.
Fairly straightforward, it seems.
Yeah.
So before we move on to the C# version of the language drivers, I just wanted to ask you a few questions that popped up in the chat.
Sure.
One of them was, can you do a find on multiple collections?
Yeah. So I remember that coming in from the last module. So doing a find on multiple collections is essentially doing a join. That is exactly the same as what a join is. We have two collections, like two tables that we'd have in a database, and we're trying to bring that data together. And MongoDB actually has like, it's philosophically engineered against that. So you're not really able to actually do a join on that server. Now, there's nothing stopping you from saying, I'm gonna do two queries. I'm gonna do one query on collection A, one query on collection B, and I'm gonna bring that data together. That's fine, it's not the most efficient way, but if you're not doing that too often, that'll definitely work. But from what was asked, if you're going to try to take two different collections and query against them, that's just not gonna work because MongoDB doesn't support that on the server. If you're doing any queries, they're only allowed to be within that collection. There was one more. Was that?
Yeah, there was one more.
It slipped your mind?
I had a little blank right here.
Hold on, let me see. I had the chat up. It was something interesting that I thought might have been... I could actually see myself 10 seconds ago. It's crazy. I think I forgot. On the next break, I'll look at it. I think it was something to do with... I don't even remember now. So.
All right. A couple of questions did come in, though, and one of them was asking you if the query inserting, updating of Node.js is like... using the methods lists, IEnumerables in C#.
So if you're doing like IEnumerable in C#, right? And I
just
only
a regular list.
It's right? Well, it's like I'm only know this because I'm familiar with C#. But if you have an IEnumerable, you're only able to the interface only lets you go one, the next one, the next one, the next one. You're not really able to treat it like an array. It's enumerable, but the array or list in C# is enumerable by its nature. So it's not only indexable, but it also implements IEnumerable. In JavaScript, the things that you get from Node, that collection, it is enumerable in the sense that you can enumerate through it. You can also hit the index that you want. However, you might hit like, it might take a little bit. If you have a very large result, you're going to get a cursor. So if you say on that object, I want the millionth element, it might take a bit because it's actually going to have to cursor through to the rest of the results in there. It's not going to give you all of it at once. That's just standard database stuff. When you get a large result, you generally get a cursor and you can kind of continue iterating on that so that you don't just get a big wad of data all at once. That kind of makes sense.
All right. So let's see how we can do this in C# as well.
Yeah.
So the first thing that I'm going to do is show you how to create and update documents. But before I jump right into this demo, I'm also going to show you how to connect to your Mongo database. So let me switch over to Visual Studio. So here I am. I've got a very simple program. All I did was just create a console app. Now, if you're interested in getting the MongoDB driver, there's two different ways. One, you could go to the installer and actually install it locally. And then once it's installed, you can go right-click on your project and then go to add reference and then browse to a place where the DLL is actually stored.
So that's if you download it.
That's if you download it and then use the installer.
Okay.
The option that I actually prefer, and I think most C# developers do prefer now, is to use NuGet. And to do that, all you gotta do is right-click, go to Manage NuGet Packages, and just, for online, do a quick search for Mongo. And if you do that, it pops up. Now, I've already got it installed, and if you actually go to the GitHub project for this MVA, you'll notice in the C# start folder, there's already this starter project without any code added in that includes the Mongo reference. So if you wanted to play around with it yourself or follow through as I'm doing it, you can actually go into the GitHub project and then start from the C# start folder. I've also included the end result, which is going to be in the C# end folder.
Why do you prefer to use the NuGet package as opposed to just downloading the DLL?
Very simple. The biggest reason why I like it is because I can see if there's any package updates for the package I already have in my project. So if there's a new version, if this is a security release or a new version of the Mongo driver, I actually get a little notification and it lets me get it in updated and installed into my project. And the other really cool thing is I can also take the same project with the package references, and they're all stored in packages.config, so you'll see it's right in there. Mongo C# driver, this is the version. If I go to a new computer with a new development environment, all I gotta do is right-click on this project, go to Manage New Packages, and because these packages are not downloaded already, I'll get a little restore button at the top.
And it'll just reinstall it.
And it'll just reinstall it for me. So I don't have to go hunt down for the installer files. I don't have to search for the references wherever they are in the actual disk.
So this is like pip or NPM where
exactly.
I can just install it no matter on what machine, and it'll just work.
Yeah, exactly. So you can restore the packages the same way that you did an NPM install, mm-hmm. and you can describe which packages are included. And the nice thing is that if you're using Visual Studio, you've got a really sweet UI that lets you also search for other packages in case you're interested in something else. Mm-hmm. Now that I've got Mongo's Project set up, everything is there. If I even open the references, you'll notice that there's the MongoDB Bison library, as well as the MongoDB driver library. Everything is in there. Now it's actually time to connect to an existing Mongo instance. So the first thing I want to do is actually connect and create a new instance of my Mongo client. Now you'll notice there's a new class. If I want to actually import this class, I need to add a using statement to the top. And that's where you'll see using MongoDB driver and Bison. These are the two that you typically always need. The last one, the one that includes builders, is one that you would use if you had a lot of querying to do. So if you had any complex query where you were building it using similar to the way that we would build in Node.js, then you'd want to use the builders. And I'll show you an example of how we do some of these complex queries in C#. So back to my Mongo client line, you'll notice I'm creating a new instance of this Mongo client, and I'm passing it a Mongo URL. This is the exact same URL as we did in Node.js. It's the same Mongo URL. It's a common connection string that is the same pretty much everywhere. And what's really neat is that this connection string is extremely simple, but you can actually make it a lot more complete by adding things like username and stuff like that. Although for the moment, our database does not have any users attached to it.
Yep.
The first thing you need to do after getting creating an instance of the client, this client is going to contain all the connection information. You actually want to get the server. So you call client get server, and that will return the server in a variable for you. So this is the server here is the class that you're actually going to use to interact with your MongoDB server. All right, one last thing we have to do before we can even start thinking about creating things is to actually go and get the current database that we want to work with. So this is the part where we go server get database test. Now I know that we included the name of the database already in the URL. For the C# driver, you'll still have to call database if you want to get things like the collection. So that's a little bit different from MongoDB, from the Node.js driver. But it's not a big deal. It's just one extra line of code.
Can you pick different databases?
Absolutely. So with the same server instance, I can go and say, hey, I want the test database too, and then just call it.
Or whatever new database or whatever.
Or yeah, sorry, I was actually already calling new test. We'll just call it that.
And it will just give you that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now that we've got this set up, I think it's time to talk about our next demo. And I think our next demo is creating and updating
documents. I don't think we had a slide for yours actually. So it's
So that's the one that we wanted to show.
Same exact one.
Okay.
So we'll keep doing it.
All right, so the nice thing about the C# driver is that you have two choices for how to actually create a document. You can use Bison document, which is pretty much exactly like the squiggly brackets in Node.js. So it's like a JSON object. It's extremely flexible. It lets you create as many properties as you want. It lets you do whatever you want. The alternative, though, is to actually create your own class that represents that data model. So in the case of this person, a document that we want to insert into our database, we can actually call it, we can actually create a class called person, and we give it the properties that we want this document to have.
So it would be like a more structured version.
That's
like
right.
It's kind of that language wrapper like I was talking about. So
yep.
Similar to Mongoose on Node, except you don't need it because the language itself is strongly typed.
Yeah.
So you can just use the type characteristics of a class onto a MongoDB document, right?
Exactly. And what's neat is that all you need to do is change this Bison document to the data model that you want, this class that you created. And so long as you have an empty constructor and all the properties that you want to be stored into this instance of this class are public, as long as the properties are public, yep. The Mongo driver will know what to do and will be able to create.
So it reflects over it.
Exactly.
Says, okay,
and it figures out, okay, well, if first name was in there, the property first name exists in the class, I'm going to set
connect it.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's almost like a object relation mapper.
Yeah, a fairly simplistic object relational mapper.
Yeah, because Mongo is already object, so it's, you know, it doesn't need that much complexity, right?
Exactly. So after we've created, so the first thing we need to do before we even create the BSON document is actually get the collection that we want to put this in. And this is where we need to specify the type of data model that we want. So we can either use BSON document or our own class. Now, in the case of this example, I'm going to use BSON document just to show you some of the other things that you need to know if you ever want to just use BSON documents. So very simple, get the collection, bank data, and that's all we need. And once we've got this collection, we can actually start inserting things and updating things inside it. So the first thing that we want to do is actually create a document. So it's a little bit different from the Node.js example. So we're going to create a BSON document called person. We're going to call new on it. And then we're going to use the static initializer that comes with C Sharp. This is a feature in the C Sharp language that lets you basically initialize things in the BSON document without necessarily having, or any class actually, not just the BSON document, without having to manually set the fields themselves.
So you're just calling a constructor, but you're saying set all of these public fields on that construct on that class on the construction of the object, right?
Exactly. So we're going to do that, and then we're going to do it in such a way so that we create these little arrays, so first name, Steven, last name, Edward, accounts. And here's where it gets interesting. So to represent what is normally an array in Node.js, so using the square brackets, we actually have to create a new BSON array in C Sharp. And this will essentially be an array.
Yeah, it's like you just have to specify.
We just have to specify it.
Yeah.
So rather than just typing in the square brackets, we have to put the squiggly brackets and the new instance right there. Okay. Now the next thing that we're going to do is going to create another BSON document, and this is what's going to be the document that's embedded in our person document. So this is going to contain all of his bank accounts. So it looks very similar to the example that we had before in Node, but just maybe a little bit more verbose with the syntax.
Yep.
And then that's all you need to do. All of a sudden, this person document is available. You can add more elements to it. You can get some of the elements. You can even say, hey, as BSON binary data, this if you want to convert it into things other than the document that it is already. So once you've got that, all you need is to go bank data, insert the person, and then that's it. When you go back and actually get the person ID, you'll notice that it's actually changed. So
that seems a lot more simple than the Node version. Why is that?
Simply because in the C Sharp version is not asynchronous.
Okay.
It's actually synchronous. So things will block until the insertion is complete. Yeah. Now I'm going to start debugging this. Let's just show you what the output is so that you believe me. Here we have it.
You're not making it up?
Not making it up. This is all you need. We just executed this code, and I put a breakpoint right before the next segment of this file. And you'll notice that the bank data.insert person, using the same reference to the same PSON document, I can then go get the dash underscore ID, which we did not set in the BSON document, and it will give me a real value.
Nice. Okay.
So this is clearly synchronous.
Yep.
Now, I'm already running my MongoD database. If you haven't been doing that already, you should go and do that. But even if I wanted to prove to you that I'm running it, here it is. So added test.bankData, added index empty collection, there's one connection, things are actually happening on my machine.
Now, if you want to do this asynchronous, we could either, is there another driver? Do we wrap it in?
So different people like different methods. So a very simple method to turn this asynchronous is to just use the task runners in C Sharp. Mm-hmm. Or you can use another driver that already does this for you. Now, the neat thing about the Mongo C Sharp driver is that it's thread safe.
Okay.
So if you do use the asynchronous task runners, you can reference the same server
instance.
And same instance of the database because it is thread safe. So that's not a problem at all.
Cool. And we're going to update the document?
That's right. So the next step is I'm going to show you how to update the document. Now, in C Sharp, it's a little bit different than in the JavaScript. It's just a little bit more verbose on the syntax. What we're going to do is we're going to call person, and then we're going to get the account. Now, because this is a Bichon document, the index operator actually can take a string, and that's going to find the key value, the key that we're looking for. Now, the next thing that I'm going to do is actually get the zeroth element, so the first one. And I know I can do that because this is a Bichon array. And then followed by that, I'm going to actually get the account balance. Now, what's interesting is that because of the way that the Bichon document is stored inside Mongo, all right, when we go back and get it because we want to add more money into this person's account, we actually have to tell the driver that, hey, convert this to an int32. So when we try to get the existing account balance, we're going to go dot as int32. And this is going to convert it into a number that then we can add 100,000 to.
Okay.
Now, if this was something else, let's say it was a string or a Boolean, you can actually cast it to something else by looking at the as Boolean, for example, or as Bichon date time, or as Bichon value, or as date time. Exactly.
Type. Huh.
So you've got it right there. Once we do that, okay, all I need to do after that is I've updated this document. I just need to save this person. So the nomenclature is a little bit different in C# driver than it is in the Node.js driver. And the biggest difference in this case is that there's no callback that you need to do. So the only thing you need to do is just basically say, we saved the document.
Well, there's also no query either.
There's no query either. And that's an interesting point in that it looks, when you call save, it actually looks into the person, figures out that this is the ID of this class because it's this instance is already there, and it will just save it into the collection. So I guess the next thing I want to show you, I'll run the demo just to prove to you that this works. Fairly straightforward. Voila, successfully updated one document, nothing crashed. The next thing that I want to show you is how to actually find a document by ID. So if you remember, Steven showed us the find1 function. Now, the neat thing in the C# driver is that you don't actually need to create a query to specify that we want to look by ID. There's actually an existing method that's done for you called find1 by ID. And all we need to do is pass it the person ID, and it will return a Bichon document with new person, called new person. Now, let's say that I was using my own data model, and I had a person class. When I go bank data.find1, what you'll notice is that there is a separate function that lets you specify the type for the generic function so that you can return it in that format. So if I had a person class, I can just do this and put in my query. Alternatively, if I wanted to still do find1 by ID, I can do something like this. Pass it the class. Give it a function name, a Bichon value ID, or just a string for the ID, and that's it. So again, there's no callback in this case. You'll notice that if I get to this point, I'm going to actually print out the new balance of this person, but I'm going to use this newly retrieved Bichon document from the database, and you'll notice that the account balance is actually a lot higher than it originally started. It's going to be something with 100,000 more. So if I go back there, you'll notice there it is, $550 million with $100,000 in there extra.
Ah, you aren't making it up.
No, not making it up at all.
All right, and then we have one more demo. We're going to do the reading and deleting documents with C#.
That's right. So we just did the reading by going find1 by ID, and it's time to delete things. So delete requires a little bit more effort in the sense that we're never quite sure how we want to remove things. And I did want to use the more complicated example and actually show you how to build a query. So I was a little bit... Overzealous in this case. So why don't I show you how to actually create a query? So this is similar to when you call find. So before we used the find1, but if I wanted to just use find, okay, I can pass it a query that I can build myself. Now, if you remember, by default, if you add several things to Mongo's query in the Node.js version, it does an and, correct?
Yep.
The difference is in that C#, you actually have to use the query.and variable. So let's say that I just wanted to get a simple remove by ID. All I need to do is go query and then get the EQ class. This stands for equal. Here's my ID and here's my, basically I'm looking for this property and here's the actual ID that I'm looking for. Now, if I call remove on this query, it will just remove the document that I had inserted previously. Now, what this function will return instead is actually a write concern result class. And within this class, you can see how many documents were affected. So if you did like an update or a remove, in theory, you would get how many documents were actually changed. Now, because we're removing one document and we're specifying the ID, and it's a unique ID, there's only one document that's going to be removed. Now, I did mention that it's a little bit different to create and build queries. Let's say that I want to build the same query, but instead of using the ID, I wanted to actually use the first name and last name to find this one query. So if you'll notice, I've got the query object. I press the dot. You'll see the different types of queries that you can do. There's an AND, there's an LM match that we covered earlier, EQ. This is equals for the query, not for the actual equals result, equals query. It's for the query object in C#.
Yep.
Then you've got geo-intersect, which could be really interesting if you're doing any type of geolocation, greater than, greater than, equal, and a whole bunch of other interesting stuff that's in here. If I wanted to create a AND variable, I basically can just put in the rest of the queries. So let's say I wanted to use EQ and stuff like that. Then I've got it all in there. And there's a sample like this in the GitHub project. So if you wanted to check it out, it's over there. So without further ado, that's the end of this module. We're apologizing for going over time a little bit. And please stay tuned to the next module.
Well, so let's cover what we just did. So we did creating documents.
Creating documents.
Updating, deleting, and remove. Removing?
Remove and or delete CRUD.
And CRUD.
Exactly. In both C# and Node.
Yep.
And our next module is really interesting because that's where we do some of the really cool stuff with Mongo. We're going to do some advanced data processing. And to do that, we're going to use MapReduce. We're going to show you some aggregation. And we're going to take real life data and see what type of insights that we can get out of them using these operations.
Sounds really exciting. You guys should hang out and see what we're going to come up with next.
All right. See you soon.